Well, what's this passage, which on the face of it doesn't seem that connected with what's going to happen to our souls in this life and the next? What's it got to do with how it is that we begin to receive and enjoy God's grace? How is it that God accepts us? There's a fairly sort of universal desire in people's hearts that responds in this way: if there is a God, I want him to accept me. If there is a God, I want it to be okay with God. Or as Bob Hope once put it, I'd hate to get to heaven and to be refused entry on a technicality. If there's a God there, you want him to accept you. If there's a heaven, you want to be in it. So how does it happen? Well, we've already seen in Christianity Explored that our problem is our sin. Our problem is that we rebel against God. And that we, in fact, are the problem. That we can't cure ourselves, we just keep doing this. We just keep wanting our own way rather than God's way. We just keep wanting God to serve us instead of us serving God. We're more concerned that God should love us than we should love him. So by hook or by crook, we put ourselves at the center of everything. And that sort of willfulness and that self-focus, it stops us from making ourselves acceptable to God. But we've also seen already in Christianity Explored that God's standard is just way too high for us anyway. Jesus summed up all the commandments when he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." We don't do it. We can't do it. And we've already seen that it was Jesus who did something for us. When he died on the cross, he took our sin. He took our rebellion. He took its guilt. He took the penalty that it brings. He died our death. So how is it then that we are accepted by God? Well, we're almost set up by everything we've been looking at before in Christianity Explored. Everything that's gone ahead of this in Mark's Gospel, we're sort of directed towards understanding that actually we can't make ourselves acceptable to God. Exactly the opposite of what we might think. Exactly the opposite of what we think religion is all about. Exactly the opposite of what we think, you know, God looks for. He looks for good citizens and decent people who, you know, do the right thing most of the time. And, they're not perfect, but, you know, they're good. And the good things outweigh the bad things. We think he's looking for us to qualify, to do enough. But the Bible has never, ever said that. And the Christian gospel has never, ever been that. We construct that. But you see, even that is part of the sin. Even that saying, I can do enough so that God must like me, must let me in. What the gospel is, and what the Bible tells us, what Jesus taught, is that we can't do enough. It's not about doing enough. It is about receiving. So we don't offer to God some good things that we've done. We don't offer to God our best bits. It's about receiving. We don't come to God with, as it were, with our hands full of what we think he wants from us, and we hope it's enough. Payment. We come to God, in fact, not with empty hands, but with guilty hands. We're the ones who need to receive, not to offer God adequate payment. Now, all that is wrapped up in the word grace, and it all hinges, or it all sort of focuses on this incident with Jesus and the little children, and with something else that happens pretty quickly afterwards in the Gospels as well. So let's have a look at it together. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. why did the disciples rebuke them? What was it about these little children and Jesus, which meant the disciples all line up and say, no, keep him out, can't bring him, he's not going to be interested in them. What was it about little children? Well, little children couldn't do anything for Jesus. Little children seemed unimportant. Little children couldn't have any leverage. Little children were just little children. They were insignificant in all the gauges in society that tell you that you can do something really significant and really important and really good, that God's going to be really impressed with you. So the disciples are saying, no, take them away. Jesus says, let them come in. Now, what Jesus does not go on and say is that the kingdom of God belongs to little children. Right? So there's a whole lot of kind of sentimental stuff that's grown up around that, which just isn't there. It isn't in what Jesus said at all. He wasn't saying that the kingdom of God belongs to little children. He said, look at what he says. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to the disciples, let the little children come in and to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And he went on to say what that means when he said, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So, you see, the disciples saw the little children coming along, and they said, well, they're not important enough, they're not good enough, they're not big enough for Jesus. Put them out. And Jesus seizes on that and says, no, the whole point is that to receive God's grace, to be accepted by God, to be welcomed in by God, you've got to be exactly like that. Not, 2 feet tall. You've got to be somebody who cannot and knows they cannot impress God enough to qualify and get into the kingdom. See, what do the children come with? The children come with their need. The children come with trust. And the children come not being able to do anything to buy a blessing from Jesus. The whole point about the children, and why they, as Jesus is saying, why they exemplify exactly what you need to be accepted by God, the whole point about them is that they can't do a thing to buy the blessing. They can't repay it once they've got it. They just receive it. They just receive it, and gladly. And what does it mean for us to bless children? It means you give them something nice at Christmas or birthdays or wheat treats or whatever. You see the smile on their face. Just receive it with innocent gladness. Which is why Jesus says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So how is it that God can accept us? It's when we come to God trusting entirely for our acceptance by him, not in what we think we can do for him, but in what he has done for us. We come to God trusting entirely in what Jesus Christ has done for us in his life and his death on the cross and in his conquering of death in the resurrection. Lifted out of the context of little children and put it in the context of getting a job. So you're applying for jobs and you've got to produce your CV, or if you come from that part of the world, your resume. You've got to hand it in. And let's say, shall we, that the job is, just absolute top-notch job. It requires a CV that, is crafted out of solid gold. It's just a really, really highly paid job. Huge responsibility, vast experience required, incredible track record. And you look at your CV and you think, what sort of CV do you need to get into the kingdom of God, to be accepted by God. Well, my CV isn't good enough. And on the basis of what the Bible says, neither is yours. So when we come to God, we don't hold up our CV and say, look what a good boy I've been, look what a good girl I've been. I know there's some bad bits, but the good bits, you know, far outweigh them. We don't come up to God and say, look at the good deeds I've done, look at the good things I've done, accept me, take me on, let me in. We don't come to God and hold up a CV and say, look at this, God, this is a way better than his or hers. I mean, I know it's not perfect, but it's better than the others. We don't compare ourselves to other people. No, we come to God and we say, don't even look at my CV. Look at Jesus' CV. Look at his life. Look at what he has done. And let me in, as it were, on his ticket. Let me in on the basis of his CV. And you trust the entire weight of your future. Not on your own works, not on your own good deeds, not on not being as bad as some people, which is just more pride, isn't it? But on what Jesus has done and who he is. That is, you come to God and you don't try and bargain with God. You don't try and buy acceptance. You come like a little child, just happy to receive. To receive forgiveness, to receive acceptance, to receive a new home, heaven, to receive a new start, now, to receive a new family, his church, his people, to receive new friends, to receive new power to live the life he wants you to live, to receive new freedom from the weights and the shackles and the burdens that bring us down again and again, to receive new liberty from the addictions and the dependencies of one sort or another, to receive a new future, to receive a new life now. You can't buy it. You can't negotiate for it. You can't lever it out of God. No, we need to receive the kingdom of God like a little child. And if we don't, Jesus says it, we'll never get in. What Jesus is saying here to the little children was exemplified by almost the next incident. A very successful young man came to Jesus. He was a good, clean, living guy, pretty religious. He was wealthy. He was on a stairway to becoming a really significant person in society. And he came to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He uses almost the same language Jesus has been using here. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus just blanks him. He just palms him off almost. I mean, it's like rude the way Jesus replies to him. It's so blunt. And he says, who are you calling good? Only God is good. Which just immediately tells the guy, whoa, what's this? Immediately tells the guy he's not the judge of whether Jesus is good or whether he himself is good. It's God's standards that count. So, you know, don't fool yourself, rich young ruler. Now, Jesus knows this man's problem. This man's problem is in the question that he asks. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he's wanting Jesus to give him something. He'd give him five tasks. Give him something to go and prove it. Give him something to go and do in order to inherit eternal life. Be accepted by God, enter his kingdom. Become a Christian. And so Jesus gives him something. Jesus gives him something that he knows he can't do. He tells him to go and sell everything he has and give all his possessions to the poor. And Jesus gives him that because Jesus knows he can't do that. See what's going on? Jesus is saying to this rich young ruler, okay, you think you can jump over the bar and get in? You want to know what to do? Jump over that. And the young man hears it and he walks away sad. And Jesus does that with the bar. He says, you know, jump that then. To tell the young man that he can't do anything to inherit eternal life. He's got to hear and do what Jesus had just been saying about the unimpressive little children. To receive it. Not by it. To receive it like a little child. How can God accept us? He accepts us because of what Jesus has done for us. He accepts us because of his grace, not because of our works. He accepts us when we trust him and receive from him. And Jesus says, that's the way in. And Jesus says, there's no other way in either. Let's pray.